p.m. at the Levin Community Center in Portland. Join Portlanders in celebrating the recent success and helping community members win their cases against deportation and get out of immigration detentions. This event will feature a reception with the silent auction, raffle, light refreshments, and more. Again, that's the Pueblo Unido PDX 1-year anniversary on May 19th from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. at the Levin Community Center, 5431 Northeast 20th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from Indigo Gardens, specializing in growing bee-friendly flowers and inspired seasonal floral design. Located in East Portland, Indigo Gardens. For more information, call 503-421-1435 or indigogardenspdx.com.
Hey, good morning.
It is springtime, allegedly.
It's Nechba.
It's what?
It's the disaster.
It's disaster.
It's the day when 600,000 Palestinians were driven from their homes by the Zionist nation of Israel.
That's pretty bad.
Well, it is pretty bad, and we can talk about that a little bit, and we can talk about a bunch of stuff. This is, however, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. That's Abe Proctor. I'm Joe Uris. The number to call to participate is 231-8187. So what we're going to do is, what are we going to do?
Well, you know, we talked about, it's every week, here's a little how the sausage is made for you. Joe and I talk about what we want to do the show about. Usually it takes place a few days before the show. So he said, let's talk about what's the worst thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get our callers to call up and tell us what they think the worst thing is.
Well, yeah, and actually I think that this is an opportunity for people. It's not a contest exactly. I mean, what do you win? World peace? No. World death? No. But, you know, I would like to know what people think is the worst thing going on.
If you win, you're the person most preoccupied by the worst thing.
Right. If you win, you have a bad mindset. So here's your opportunity to do that. And I have a list which is not exclusive, which does not include things. So you may want to add something.
Let's hear your first thing.
My worst thing today is the disasters of the region, which is called by Westerners the Middle East. So, Iran, ba-dum, Israel, Palestine, ba-dum, ba-dum, the behavior of the Arab Saudi Arabians in their attack of all Shia, and of course, the United Arab Republics joining in that. And I don't want to forget that the countries in our new alliance are Israel, Saudi Arabia, and, of course, us. So that's my worst thing.
That's your worst thing.
That's my worst thing.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
I hand it to you.
That's bad. But there's a lot of profound, terrible things. I got a list here.
Strong opener you got there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, here's my worst thing.
Okay.
Actually, two interrelated things.
Okay.
Arctic heat this winter, or as the tail end of the winter, as it did the previous winter, has spiked. Temperatures are approaching the melting point at the North Pole.
Not our fault.
Over the past several weeks.
Nobody's fault.
No, it's absolutely everybody's
fault.
Just God. Sea ice is retreating annually at a rate far in excess of even the most pessimistic projections.
Just because of polar bears are going to die.
No, it gets a lot worse than that.
Oh.
So this is indicative, perhaps, that the cascading effect of global climate change is accelerating to a degree that we had not foreseen, which reveals a couple of things to us. One, that our understanding of the complex network that is the global climate still has a long way to go. And secondly, that the debilitative effects of industrial capitalism on the global climate are causing harm far in excess of what we previously
understood. I think this is just end times as predicted by the fundamentalists. It's just God's work.
Your thing is about the end times predicted by fundamentalists. My thing is just about capitalism running amok.
Okay.
So those are our two bad things.
Yeah. You got two things in one there.
I got two things in one there, yeah.
Yeah.
503-231-8187 is the number to call to be part of this contribution. What is your bad thing?
Yeah, tell us what you think is the worst thing or what you think is a serious thing, and this is your chance. I added some other items.
I'm sure you did.
Wildlife reduction.
Wildlife reduction?
Yeah, they're going to take away bears' ears, which I've always had affection for.
What is this you're talking about?
Bear's Ears is wildlands with many sacred sites to Native Americans, and it's in the heartland of the desert region, the wild, wonderful country of America, and it was made a national monument by Obama. Of course, everything Obama did is trying to be undone by the Trump and his friends. So this thing they're going to reduce significantly in size. There's another one that they're after here in Southern Oregon. So I think the destruction of wildlands is very important in our country. And, of course, there's lots of other items that might be more important. Like, I'm going to mention just a little one that relates to things in Portland. Racism.
Huh.
And I'll add sexism.
Huh.
Huh.
You're throwing the isms around.
I got the isms. And homelessness-ism.
And, yes?
Here's my last, on this very short list, there's lots of other stuff, but on my short list, the end times monopoly capitalism.
Ah, okay.
That's it. I'll hold off on that. That's plenty.
That is plenty.
That's
yeah.
a lot. But other people may have other ideas. We'd like to hear from you. 231-8187.
Okay, I want to add part B to my worst thing here.
Part
and then
B.
Then we'll go to our listeners. Yeah, I mentioned the spike in temperatures at the North Pole.
Yes.
And the recession of Arctic sea ice.
Yes.
Correlated to that is the fact that during April of 2018, global CO2 levels, that's the saturation of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere, reached a level of 410.31 parts per million.
Which means
that's very bad. Remember a gentleman named Bill McKibben, founder of 350.org. He's been a guest on this program before.
Yeah, we like that.
Yeah, really smart guy, author, environmentalist. 350.org is named 350.org because scientists years ago pinpointed 350 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere as the tipping point past which there would be very little that we could do to arrest the cascading series of events that characterizes global climate change. So clearly we left 350 in the dust a long time ago. And we're up to around 410.
Well, see, he was wrong. It's okay. We can have more carbon dioxide.
Yeah, but all kinds of stuff is happening as a result. We just mentioned the sea ice. There's a city on Tasmania in Australia that just last month received more rain in a short period of time than it had almost the entire previous year. So these extreme weather events are happening more and more frequently.
Yes.
Directly correlated to human-caused global climate change.
Yes. Now, this is not a contest. I mean, really, we do want to hear from you. We want to know what concerns you. Or maybe you got some positive stuff. You know, maybe you think Jesus is coming tomorrow. I don't know. Anyway, positive stuff would be good. And I think that I want to catch the temper of our audience in this questioning.
Yeah, we've got Natalie on the phone. Let's go to her. Natalie, good morning.
Good morning, guys. So my worst thing is the fact that people are so dispirited and feel that they can't have any impact on what's going on. And a big issue fueling this is all of the barrage of negative worst things to happen that we hear in the media all the time.
So we're doing a bad thing here.
Terrible, because I think that people are not really motivated by feeling, you know, how desperate the situation is. But we don't hear enough of the positive things that people are doing on the ground, or the positive things that are changing. You know, the fact that so many states are acting to curb emissions in the United States, that now there is more of that interconnectedness of things happening on the ground. The fact that I think people are really aware now of global warming, but we need to hear more of the positive things that people are doing, because that's really what makes people act and have energy to take these big issues. For example, the magazine Yes, which, you know, focuses on that, and I think that people get much more uplifted by that.
Well, I agree with you, actually. I mean, we were being ironic and silly, as we often are. But you're right. I think there are a lot of organizing efforts. I think there's a lot of stuff going on. In fact, I'm going to join an organization that some of the people I knew from years ago, like Barbara Ehrenreich, which is the Democratic Socialists of America, which is actually a combining way back of Dorothy Healey from the Communist Party on the West Coast, communist, and of the Socialist Party, the old-time Norman Thomas Socialists on the East Coast with Michael Harrison. I really think that's an organization that's worth supporting as a political party, and I'm gonna try to work for it. So there's a minor thing I'm gonna do, but I thank you. You're right. We should maybe set aside a show of good things and hopeful things in the near future.
Yeah, perhaps we should, but not today.
What? Not today. Not today. Today's dark day. Nechba. Today is the day of disaster for Palestinian people.
You know, she's right. She's right.
She's right.
And this is something you and I often clash about. I think I'm generally more hopeful about things than you.
I think you're just out of it.
Well, that could be too. Yeah. 503-231-8187. Marianne is next. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
So, I want to talk about passenger rail. This is maybe not the worst thing that's happening, but it's a bad thing that people don't understand. And a good thing, too. Because there is a group of young people based in Seattle that are working on getting a high-speed rail line between Eugene, Oregon, and Vancouver, British Columbia, and also going out to Spokane, Washington. So that's a good thing. But I want to tell people, a lot of people don't realize that you can't have high-speed rail without having a good foundation of lower-speed rail and buses and things that connect to it.
No, you're right.
That is really being under attack by this current administration.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up, because there's some historically significant things. One of the things was that there was a lot of conspiracies and a lot of pressure by the automotive industry, the oil industry, and so on, to essentially take passenger rail out of the United States. We used to have a very good passenger rail system for its time up through the 50s. After that, all rail was emphasizing moving goods and not people. And that process essentially also involved the decision to build an interstate highway system, which is actually pretty good for a highway system, kind of an imitation of the old Nazi approach to high-speed cars. So, yes, this is really a serious thing, and it's a tremendous waste of energy, and it's a polluter the way it is now. And we should have, in fact, I would say we should have high-speed rail all over the country, but particularly on the West Coast, all the way from Canada to San Diego. And it should be really fast, and it would make life so much easier. I was trying to set up a trip down to Oakland on the rail, and I found out that lots of things are wrong. First of all, it's only a night train, which means you have to pay for a little roomette if you want to sleep at all, if you're older. And turns out that they spray each car after it gets back to its starting point, because people are allowed to bring their doggies. Doggies are very popular, and everybody suddenly has a doggie for their health or something, emotional support.
Yes.
So they have a doggy, and the doggy has fleasies, and the fleasies stay on the train. So they spray the cars with poison, only as much as they need, they assured me. And then they, of course, clean it with toxic chemicals. And because it's air-conditioned, it's just like an airplane. One half the air is fresh air, and one half the air is recycled air. It's really a bum system, and it's slow. So you're right.
Well, it's slow, but it's also... They should keep that train. They shouldn't eliminate it. They should just add high-speed rail, you know, in a different corridor, because it's a scenic trip, you know, and there are people who are going to want to use it anyway.
That's true. So, that's true. No, and it's obvious that in Europe, in Asia, in Russia, in China, in Europe, even with Chinese involvement, a vast system of roads and rail is going to develop out of southern China all the way across the Eurasian continent and into Europe, and the similar thing is going to be built by the Chinese in Africa. We, the United States, are becoming a third-rate transportation country.
Yeah, and actually our rail system, the only country that in the world has a worse rail system than us is Pakistan.
Well, that's...
I mean, that's pretty low.
That's pretty low.
Right, yeah. But anyway, I mean, I do want to talk. I appreciate all the things that you said. I do want to bring to people's attention a few things. Amtrak actually got more funding than they requested this year.
Who did?
We're not sure why that is, but we have heard in the grapevine, those of us who are rail advocates, have heard on the grapevine that there's a specific plot that we think this new money is going to be used to, like, buy different equipment. So here's the plan we have heard is to get rid of all the long-distance trains. Get rid of all the long-distance trains. Replace them so that you can still theoretically have a national system, which is what Amtrak's mandate was, with shorter corridors. So, and these short corridors will all be 750 miles or less, which means that the federal government won't fund any of it. If a corridor is 750 miles or less, the states are entirely responsible for funding it, which means the death of the trains, basically, because states aren't going to be able to. I mean, some will, but a lot of them are not going to be able to afford it. And also, nobody will be able to make long-distance trips because they'll all be daytime routes. That's also part of the plan. So if you want to go a long distance, you're going to have to go one corridor, stay overnight somewhere, take the next piece, stay overnight, some, you know, and people aren't going to do that. So it's basically a plan to kill a passenger train service. In the meantime, another thing they're doing is eroding service. Like, even back east, they've already gotten rid of the dining cars and some of the long-distance trains and replaced them with, like, the kind of service you've got on the Cascades corridor here, which isn't bad, but it's not what you want for a long distance, you know, which is where you buy little packaged meals, they heat them up in the microwave, and you get to sit at a little table, maybe, to eat them. And they're just, chipping away at stuff so that people are not going to have as good a travel experience, and they're going to start abandoning.
Well, and then, of course, as long as you brought up the travel phenomenon, have you been on an aeroplane lately? I mean, hell, unless you buy, which most of us cannot afford, business or better class, you are wedged into a tiny little seat right next to the fat guy and the little baby crying on the other side, and you have to be there where they don't feed you much and they don't help you much, and they occasionally crash.
Yeah.
So there you are. Thank you very much for the call. You've cheered us up.
Thanks. Yeah, Joe, you should just stay home, man.
Why?
Because you don't like trains, you don't like planes.
I like trains. I love trains. I have an electric train.
You just talked about how diseased and flea-ridden the train is.
Well, I'm describing reality.
How horrible the plane is.
Yeah.
So stay home.
Well, it's not about liking it. It's about how the hell, if you're not going to drive, can you get from here to there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real thing. And you have an aging population, which means that a lot of those people probably shouldn't be on the road.
I've got another bad thing.
Okay.
Actually, this is part of a bad thing, part of a good thing.
Okay.
2016 was the first nationwide election held since the partial evisceration of the Voting Rights Act.
Right.
Based after a recent Supreme Court decision. So since that happened, I believe that's in 2014. We've seen a whole bunch of restrictive laws spring up around the country, most notably in places like Wisconsin and North Carolina. But at the same time, more recently, we've seen a number of states introduce laws to broaden access on Election Day, to make implement things like automatic registration, like we have here in Oregon, to expand same-day registration. So there's a pushback happening against the more restrictive voting legislation that's been passed by some of the more conservative states.
Well, that's good, except yeah. The Supreme Court decided that money is people.
Money is people. It would still be better to have the full protections of the Voting Rights Act in place.
Yes.
But hopefully we'll arrive at some place.
See, you keep thinking it's going to get better.
Well, I just explained to you that all these legislatures are taking steps to expand voting rights and voting access.
Well, I agree that that's good, okay. But it's only an interim effort toward... it's like there was a movie years ago out of Germany dealing with transvestites and so on. So on, it's really
okay,
bad.
Transvestites is not an acceptable term anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Continue.
Okay, well, give me a really acceptable term.
Just say trans.
Oh, just trans, yeah. Not transvest, just trans.
Yeah.
Tranny people. That sounds wrong, too.
That is wrong, too.
Everything's wrong,
okay,
too.
Okay, you're deep in a hole now. Continue.
Okay, from that hole, this is a movie that was made in Germany called Taxi Zum Klo.
Uh-huh.
That means, translation literally, a taxi to the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And it was a groundbreaking movie internationally at the time, probably 20 years ago. I just bring it up because that was the beginning of the awareness of these sets of problems. So, yeah, there are things, particularly in interpersonal relations, which are actually getting better. The fact that you can say that what I said was politically incorrect is an indication of this awareness.
You say this is the beginning of awareness of these kinds of problems. What kinds of problems are you talking
about?
Well,
the treatment of persons whose sexual orientation is considered by, I think, the Christian fundamentalists wrong.
Uh-huh. And how does that relate to voter suppression?
How does that relate to voter suppression?
I don't know.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you brought it up in the context of
voter
suppression.
Yeah, I know, but I just wanted to get it in there.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. What is your worst thing? Let's go to the phones. LJ, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Oh, you know.
Don't say that. Say you're great. Just lie.
Okay, I'm not lying. I am great, Joe.
There you go.
I am great. And the greatest part is I'm listening to you guys. Woo! All right, so just a couple of quick things. We all know what Israel is doing in Palestine yet again. According to Amy Goodman, 60 dead Palestinians, over 2,000 wounded.
Yeah, but who's counting?
Actually,
I was being sarcastic. Don't respond to that.
Okay, Joe, I just want to talk about the method. These peaceful demonstrators are being shot by snipers, done very, very methodically. They're knocking them off one by one. As soon as one falls, they wait a few minutes, and then they shoot another one. They are aiming for the extremities, and the bullets that they're using are called butterfly bullets, which tears the flesh on impact. And the doctors in Palestine are saying that the exit wounds of these people's legs are the size of a fist.
Wow.
And that the Israelis are creating a new generation of crippled Palestinians who will be unable to walk or do anything like that.
Well, right. I think seriously that is true, and it is part of the strategy of Israel in combating an effort to more symbolically than really tear down the border for the people living in Gaza. Remember, Gaza is this giant prison camp.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, it's really horrible.
Yes, it is. All right. One more. Just two more quick things.
Okay.
The opening of the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem.
Well, it's not even open. There's not an embassy there.
No,
it's just an announcement.
It isn't. Yeah, it it isn't there yet, but the person chosen by Trump to do the prayer invocation is a fellow by the name of Robert Jeffords.
Yes.
The famous Reverend Jeffords.
Yep. A bigot and a homophobe.
Not
and
only
an anti-Semite,
is he a homophobe,
I would add.
Yeah.
Why would Trump send a minister who's openly anti-Semitic to Israel?
He's a dark clown, Trump. That's why.
It's really something, and it's my understanding that this Jeffords fellow also has an axe to grind against the people who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints.
Oh yeah, he hates the Mormons too.
He hates the Mormons he thinks that they're a cult.
Yeah, an apostate cult, I believe he called it.
Yeah, that's right. All right, now on a positive note, the new Poor People's Campaign by the Reverend William Barber.
Yes, God bless Barber.
God bless Barber. I understand, according to Amy Goodman, that over 1,000 people have been arrested so far today.
Well, yeah, I guess that's good because civil disobedience is important. But, you know, there's this quality to that kind of suffering, which also reminds me darkly of the behavior of the Palestinians from Gaza, where they feel like in desperation they have no choice.
That's right. They don't have a choice.
So, you know, it's part of my dark theme.
No, Joe, you are one of the most optimistic people I know. So.
Okay.
Oh, wow. You must lead a dark life, my friend.
No. Ignore him. He's just a straight guy from the back world.
Yeah,
really. Anyway, thanks again for the show.
Sure.
Have a really good day. And Joe?
Yes.
Keep on keeping on, my brother.
Well, I guess I got to remember that I say tranny, not transvestite. Why is that? How does that work?
No, you say trans.
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 All right. Well, hey, thank you, LJ, for the call.
Okay, so, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. This whole Israel thing is, it's really frustrating. I mean, it should be clear to everyone paying attention that they have operated an apartheid regime in the occupied territories for decades now. And that really the Israeli Defense Forces are willing to do just about anything, seize upon any provocation to unleash violence upon the Palestinians. I don't know if you listened to Amy Goodman this morning, but she had on the spokesperson from the IDF who described, as LJ mentioned, that the Israeli soldiers were only shooting at the lower regions of the protesters' bodies. Is this was some great act of mercy that they were only trying to permanently maim and cripple the protesters rather than outright killing them?
Yes.
So thank you, Israeli Defense Forces, for your restraint and your moderation.
Well, this is an interesting thing. I mean, as long as we're on this topic briefly, I don't want to spend the whole show dealing with it. But, you know, when I grew up, a long time ago, I can remember, and I think I've talked about this a little bit before, I can remember these beautiful billboards all over Los Angeles in blue and white with a handsome family of pioneers in Israel. A strong-looking guy with muscles and so on, a very attractive woman and a couple of kids. And it was, you know, it was never again. And this was I can't remember the exact slogan, but it was basically the idea that Palestine was empty, empty of people. And there were these people who didn't have a homeland, who were the Jews after World War II. And therefore, it made sense to park these people in the old traditional holy lands. It ignored the fact that, in fact, there were lots and lots of people living there for a long, long time, known as the Palestinians. And when those wars in the 40s were over and the UN said, well, you could have Israel, part of the activity that was immediately done by the Zionist forces was to remove more than 600,000 families, many of them who'd been there for generations, from Israel. So that it's called the disaster. And it really was a disaster. And now most of those Palestinians that have survived if they're lucky enough, live in Jordan, and it's a really bad situation there with camps, in kind of permanent camps. It's a terrible situation in the areas occupied by the Palestinian Authority, which, by the way, whose leader did all the nastiest anti-Semite myths that they could possibly do in his last speech, thereby causing people who think seriously of these issues to be outraged. So there's no good guy in leadership there. And in the horrible prison camp of Gaza, there is nothing to do. There's no life form. You can't fish. You're not allowed to fish. You're not allowed to. There's not enough land to grow anything, hardly. You can't have. There's no industry because industry is blocked. You have to get special permission to do business with Egypt or any other country. I mean, it is really horrible. And it is that horror which is affecting these young people in such a manner that they become suicidal, I think.
Yeah, it's an awful state of affairs, and has been for a long time.
Well, and then you have, in contrast, I mean, talk about bad international PR. In contrast, you have the pretty president's daughter, who I guess is very bright, I don't know. Pretty president's daughter and her handsome, sleazy husband, the great...
I don't know what he is. Does he have an official position?
Yeah.
Does he?
No, he doesn't get a job.
Senior advisor, says Engineer Ray.
Yeah.
So tell me something. Why are the president's daughter and son-in-law present on a diplomatic mission in Israel? What are they doing?
Because they're cute.
That's just all kinds of nonsense.
Well, I know it's nonsense, but that's what it is. They're cute.
Let's do the thought experiment we occasionally do on this program. Let's imagine if it were a Democratic president whose offspring were conducting diplomatic business on behalf of the United States.
That would all be bad.
We would all be deafened by the sound of Sean Hannity's head exploding. That's what would be happening right now.
Well, I could go with that.
Yeah, well.
Okay, look, this is a contrast that could not be missed in terms of PR, in terms of an image for the world. The difference between the unveiling of the new potential capital of the American embassy, which is previously the American consulate there, and that with the horror of the struggle to get across the fence in Gaza. I mean, it's just unmistakably a worldwide disaster for the U.S. And my prediction is that this country will slowly and inevitably, despite its vast wealth and military power, slide into a place of horror. Sorry,
yeah.
That's just what I think.
I am more optimistic than you are.
Yeah, you are. Right. What do you think is going to all turn around?
Well, I don't know. I have some hope that it will. We're also taking your comments on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe. Jack writes in to say, did I miss something? The global war of terror, 15 years
of
running.
He's right.
Isn't on the list? Yes, it's on my list. Just hadn't got there yet. Bush lied about everything, including 9/11, but not about mission accomplished. The mission? A successful launch of the campaign to fail all self-determinant Middle Eastern states, all except one, and you know which one, the only one with functional nukes, the nukes that nobody ever talks about.
Oh, you mean Israel?
Israel.
Yeah, well, he's got a good point. I as to the 9/11 thing, I don't understand the conspiracy theories there. I'm quite comfortable with the fact that these guys largely out of Saudi Arabia blew up those two buildings. I mean, there's no need, and there's no rational support for some other theory except to throw a bunch of stuff together.
You realize that you've just opened a can of worms.
Yeah, it's a can of worms that a lot of people around here like to eat.
Yep, it's true. All right, let's go to the phones. George, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for focusing on the horrifying situation of the land-stealing operation that's a partnership between the State of Israel and a certain other major power. We won't mention the name.
You mean Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia announced that they thought there should be a Jewish state. I mean, this is really a creepy thing.
Well, you've really got a point. I just wanted to ask you, you mentioned a Democratic Socialist writer a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Michael Harrison, and I thought, I've got a book called Socialism by a former member of the U.S. Congress named Michael Harrington.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Okay, so I just want to say not Harrison, Harrington. And
yeah, thank you. This is a very small organization that has continued to exist for many years now, but its politics are democratic socialist. That means the system very much like, say, Scandinavian countries. And if we adopted, very unlikely, but it's worth struggling for, if we adopted such a system, we would have the advantages of a system of a free market. At the same time, we would have limits on wealth, and we would have a very much better system of support for poorer people. And we would have public services like fast, high-speed rail.
Yeah. Could I ask you, this book that he wrote way back in 72 or something, Socialism, is it available still online, or is there a printed new edition out?
I don't know the answer to that, but I would guess there is. I don't know about a new edition, but I guess you could find it online pretty easily.
Okay, and thanks so much for covering the situation in Palestine, and thank you very much. I'll get off the air and listen. I want to hear.
Okay, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you very much. Harvey's next. Good morning.
Hi there. Well, I feel that the combination of artificial intelligence, robots, and 3D printers has placed us smack dab in the middle of the fourth industrial revolution. Time is working against us while we waste our time hating and tearing each other down. Not only do we need a guaranteed income for every American, we also have to get rolling on implementing a national single-payer healthcare system, or there'll be hell to pay. And I think that if you think there's a lot of homeless people out there now, in the future, the numbers will go exponentially. Out of a job, out of money, can't afford health care or food for yourself or your family, what are you going to do? Turn to crime, prostitution, become addicted to drugs and alcohol, end up in debtor's prison for profit? I say the choice is ours. It's time to demand our politicians wake up and see that their future is linked to our well-being. And their jobs are on the line. As autonomous cars take over our roads and highways, so autonomous government will take over local, state, and national governing body. And so we're at a crossroads. One road leads to a new renaissance for us and our children, and the other road leads to a police state and a prison for profit cell. It's time to wake up and fight for our right to be free by insisting on a guaranteed income for every American, as well as a national single-payer system that'll work for all of us.
That was very well said, sir. But I got to ask you, your opening statement seemed to imply that there was a third possibility, and that is while we're all busy tearing each other apart, we're clearing the field for the advent of our robot overlords.
Yes, we are. I mean, if you go to YouTube, for instance, and put in the word robot and start clicking on watching some of the YouTubes, and you'll see how advanced the robots are. That will take all the blue-collar jobs. And then artificial intelligence, I mean, I don't know if you just recently saw the Google receptionist where Google will make appointments for you. It sounds just like a person. I mean, your autonomous cars will take over all the trucks, the buses, the cars, all those jobs. The autonomous assistant will take over all the secretarial jobs. The robots will take over all the blue jobs. I mean, autonomous planes, autonomous railroads. I mean, virtually everything. Every job is seen now as a potential marketplace for the robotic, artificial intelligence, and 3D printer business. And so we have to get ready and stop. You know, our politicians are asleep at the wheel there. But their jobs, too, can be, we can have autonomous government where we all vote independently from our cell phones on any issue and override the politicians themselves. So we really have to take a close look at the potential. This is a gift, of course. I see it all as a gift. But we have to move toward a renaissance where we're freed up from the mundane and we learn to plan our own day. We go back to lifelong education, the arts, you name it. Our potential is incredible, but thinking the way we're thinking and just being at each other's throats is going to land us in hell. And we're at the crossroads of this right now.
Listen, thank you very much for the call. Very, very provocative call. Of all your choices, I think I like New Renaissance the best. Go ahead, Joe. You want to say something?
Well, I think this is real. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to read science fiction. And Isaac Asimov, I believe it was, wrote a set of rules about robots.
The laws of robotics.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're already violated. Hmm. So, you know, it's out of control. You cannot trust quasi-monopoly capitalism to be wise. It's only about being money-oriented. The government of the United States is in the hands of fascist fools at this point. And even the Democrats are a party lost and unwilling to take a genuine social democratic stand, which is absolutely what needs to be done, which would maintain profit and would maintain care and national health insurance, as was earlier caller brought out. And there would be housing, there would be all these things that are doable because we have the resources to do them. But they're not going to happen unless all of us somehow unite and work hard on it. And it's really a very, 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 very impossible situation as I see it right now. That's why I'm so dark-minded.
I got you. Yeah. The very provocative call we just had, I want to mention a book out there for you guys to read by a guy named Ray Kurzweil. It's called The Singularity is Near. You heard of this, Joe?
No.
It's about artificial intelligence. And he talks about a point in our near future history. Future history is kind of a oxymoron. In the near future, we will reach a point that he calls the singularity, which is the point at which the sum total of machine intelligence, or artificial intelligence, exceeds the computational and decision-making capacity of all the human-based intelligence on the planet combined.
How do you measure that?
Well, you don't. You probably would just see its effects after it happens, which means basically that human brains are no longer the most capable and fastest decision-making entities on the planet, and that we will pretty much at that point be at the mercy of the collective decisions made by artificial intelligence.
This is so weird. It's just science fiction.
Essentially, you know? Be supplanted. Yes, but it's a fascinating read and a cautionary tale. And everybody should check it out.
Okay.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. Michael is next. I'm sorry, Eddie is next. Go ahead, Eddie.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
How are you?
Very well. What's on your mind, sir?
Good. I'm biking around town collecting books for Books to Prisoners. That's a quick plug.
Nice.
No, that's a good organization. Yeah. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, we're on Facebook. I wanted to clear up this whole trans thing you guys were
deliberating
about.
Well, I stepped into it being casual and stupid, mm-hmm. But go ahead.
A transvestite is a person, typically a male, who derives sexual pleasure from dressing contrary to his assigned gender.
Okay.
It's a cross-dresser. Like me, mm-hmm. I consider myself a dude. I identify as a man. If I ran around in a dress with lipstick and I got off on it, I'd be a transvestite.
Okay.
That's like
okay.
Garcelles. Okay. Those are transvestites. A transgendered person is someone who does not conform to the gender they're assigned at birth.
Right.
No, you're absolutely right. I apologize for my stupidity. I was just a close.
No.
Sounds like I got it wrong, too.
I just want to break it down. For you or any listeners who may be confused about it, because sometimes people like don't get it. It's not about being PC. It's just about being factual. You dig?
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're talking about a trans, it's someone who does not conform to the gender binary or the binary that they were assigned at birth.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks very much for the call.
I would add that getting good books or even bad books to people who are locked up in an inhuman prison system is a good idea.
Yes, absolutely it is.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Barry is next.
Oh,
good morning.
Hi, Joe, Abe, either of you?
Yes.
Yes. Something that I feel is very bad. I've mentioned this book, Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World. I mention this to a lot of people, and a lot of people don't figure, well, I don't know about reading stuff. I've got so many things to read. This is the very idea of what's happening with Israel, and it has to do with the the subjugating of the whole world, actually.
Barry, listen to me. I have one simple question for you to answer. Who were the guys who seized those planes and crashed them into those sites? Who were they? What was their nationality?
I believe that was done through remote control, and it was just something.
Okay, Barry, I'm going to cut you off because that's cuckoo, and I'm not going to allow it. I can't. It's so silly. That is not I actually watched, and you were there too, Abe, when these people marched down the aisles at a presentation by the Canadian writer, what's her name? Can't remember right now. Okay. And they took up 20 minutes chanting truth out, as if 9/11 could not have been what it clearly was. It's not necessary to have a conspiracy theory about everything. It's really necessary instead to look at what actually happens, what's provable, what's demonstrable, and then look at the politics behind it. And it's too crazy. Sorry, too crazy.
We realize we just lost the rest of the show, right?
Well, I don't know.
We should just mail it in from here.
Yeah, really. Okay, yeah, everybody probably will say, oh, yours is so stupid. You know, it's really a conspiracy. It's not. It's obvious. It's bad. And it's Saudi Arabia.
All right, coming up this morning on KBO 9, Alternative Radio presents investigative journalist and TV host Abby Martin talking about corporate media and the U.S. Empire. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, stage and studio guest Susanna Mars talks to creators of the new production of Cabaret at the Funhouse Lounge.
A great play. Great musical cover.
Yes. And at 11:30, Art Focus interviews Allison Provax about her new exhibit, You, I, Everything Else, at Wolf Gallery. All this and more coming up today on KBOO 90.7 FM. Michael is next. Good morning, Michael.
Michael?
Hello?
Let's go to the next person.
All right, we'll come back to Michael if we can. Tim, you're next. Good morning, sir. Hello? Oh, we seem to have lost Tim as well.
Something's wrong.
What's next on your worst, your list? Oh, Tim. We have Tim.
Here's Tim. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. Or maybe not. Okay, well, we'll get to Tim when we can get to Tim.
It's KBOO.
It is. What's next on your list of bad things, Joe?
Oh, I think I had a short list, you know. I think I said homelessness would be the next one, or maybe racism. I think racism is probably the more serious problem because it's so ubiquitous and so denied by the authorities.
Yeah, you're right. Some remarkable things have been happening on this front, I think, lately. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, look, racism is so much worse than it used to be. No, I don't think that's the case. I think what we're seeing now is we now have the ability to document instances of racist behavior and racist violence in a way that we haven't had before.
Right. And there's a much more historical record coming to the fore.
Indeed. Yes. So I'm not trying to whitewash. I'm not trying to whitewash the extent to which racism is still a problem today. What I'm saying is we have the means now to perceive its extent that we didn't have before. And it's shocking, particularly to a lot of white folks who perhaps went along believing that racism had somehow been legislated away or that things were so much better now any number of false conclusions. But it's laid bare now. Everybody can see it. Everybody can see how pervasive, how systemic this problem is. Everyone can see the barriers, institutional and otherwise, that are out there for everybody who's not a white guy. And this sort of perception, this sort of realization is an absolutely necessary step on the way to removing all of that.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, in fact, I used to actually in the university teach American history. In fact, from the very founding, the decisions that were made from our point of view, from our cultural point of view, were clearly to allow slavery, encourage slavery, so we could have a nation. That was one of the deals. And, of course, not to allow women to have any political rights whatsoever.
Yeah.
The same for Native Americans.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Who do we have? Hugh. Good morning, Hugh.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Thanks. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for doing what you do. I don't even know where to start. am I allowed to say a couple movies that I'm interested in?
You can say it as long as it's not obscene.
Out? Yep.
Okay. The movie Sirius and the movie Unacknowledged, led by Stephen Greer. I'm just, you know, I'm hearing about this fast rail and everything, and I do believe that we have technologies way beyond, you know, for the last 40, 60, 70 years. And we could be so far ahead, and we're being enslaved, you know, driving gasoline cars, et cetera, et cetera. And I just, you know, I know we're not ready for that kind of technology either to just pop into our society. It'd have to be weaned in slowly. But I really want people to start checking out the movie. Check out the movie Sirius, the thrivemovement.com, and the new movie Unacknowledged, led by Stephen Greer.
Okay.
And it's just the disclosure of all the technologies and stuff and getting this stuff out of, you know, from being stored in warehouses in Area 51 and everything.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
I think that's cool.
All right.
I've always liked Area 51.
Have you? I've never been there.
Oh, giant heads, you know, little people.
Aaron is next. Aaron, what's on your mind?
I think it's Karen. Maybe.
Oh, pardon me, Karen. My apologies.
So this will be quick, but I wanted to put a hopeful note in. I heard a talk by a Dr. Dolly Baum. She is an Israeli Jew, and she was talking on behalf of the American Friends Service Committee about something called Investigate, which is one of the projects of the AFSC, American Friends Service Committee. And what they do is they have a database that can be used to figure out what holdings you have personally or what a business has that that might be helping the occupation. And that's one of the things that they do. So I just wanted to share, it's afsc.org /investigate, and that's afsc.org /investigate. And it's a really great step forward because she was pushing boycott, divestment, and sanctions, and she was talking about how effective they ultimately were in South Africa. And I hear all the strands of the discussion of the cynicism and our despair and so on, but you know what? Wherever we can grab onto a little bit of hope seems like a good idea to me.
I really agree with you, and even though I'm probably the despair king here,
yeah, you are.
I will claim that. I also agree, and one of the people who really influenced me, I brought this up before, was a Dorothy Day, you know, a Catholic Worker Party person,
yeah,
who said to me and has said publicly in her work in the past that it is a great sin to be in despair because it does nothing for anyone, including the self.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
So I know that. I just find myself creeping into the looking around me and getting upset.
You're articulating our shadow when you're in despair. We all have that sense that we're in a moment of great and unprecedented crisis, and we're all frightened. But if we don't do anything, then it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
I personally would rather go down struggling. So.
Well, and I also subscribe to Camus' idea in The Myth of Sisyphus. That is, if you don't try, you're not playing.
Well, there you go. It is. We are pushing the rock up and down all the time. So you have a great day, guys, and keep up the great work.
No.
Thank you.
I have to say something in my defense.
Sure.
This is my personal existential struggle.
Okay.
And it's real. I see how things are going, and I have a projective image of the future born out of my childhood or childish reading of science fiction, which was all dystopian. And I also understand the power relations in our culture. Nevertheless, I don't want to be the guy that discourages you out there from doing the things that are right, because doing the things that are right is always good. Spike Lee is correct on that question. Do the right thing. And we all ought to be struggling because in terms of the righteous potential, you never know where the crucial tipping point is. So you got to keep plugging away.
So you're really hoping to be proved wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah.
I'll disappear in a puff of smoke like the devil.
You heard it here. Call up, prove Joe wrong, and he will vaporize in front of my eyes.
Cool.
That'll be great radio.
Yeah.
Well,
great radio. No one will see it.
503-231-8187. Manisha, did I pronounce that right?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's a Persian name, and I wanted to thank you for your wonderful programs every Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
Every week, I look forward to listening to you too. Thank you. And I caught because I've been on hold forever. So the part that I want to talk about is related to the beginning of the program. You mentioned this Arabic word, and I just wanted to, if you want to learn, I want to tell you the correct spelling of that. Disaster in Arabic is N as in Nancy, E as in egg, K as in kite, B as in boy, A as in apple, T as in Tom, but the T is silent. So it's Nekbah.
So it's Nekbah.
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 No, not he, Nick. Nekbah.
Okay, Nekbah.
Yeah.
I'll learn. I'm slow, but I'll learn.
Disaster, yeah.
And I really appreciate that. It really is a disaster. That is really a good term for what happened to the Palestinian people. And I think existentially and logically, if there is an arc that brings justice to the world, this is a very bad thing for the people of Israel as well.
Yeah, and I am Iranian. I am familiar with this ever since I was a kid. We have been talking about this in my family. We have been fighting for the right thing, and I've been here for 30 years, and I'm still kind of talking. I'm like kind of speaker for all these. About this disaster, talk about it all the time. And it is a disaster. Thank you for touching all these wonderful subjects. Thank you. God bless you.
Well, thank you for the lovely call.
Thank you very much.
Ah, that was nice.
Well, yeah, you know, I wish, I really wish I could, maybe I could get in a lobotomy and just, you know, be happy. You think? Maybe people can contribute money to my lobotomy. I don't know. My children probably would resent that.
Make it part of the next fundraising drive.
Yeah. Well, Joel is now really, really stupid. You thought he was foolish before. Now he's really stupid.
All right, let's go to Annalisa. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a positive and a negative observation. I just heard early this morning that in Washington State, they're proposing a tax on Amazon and Starbucks, for instance, rich companies, and the taxes will go to build affordable housing.
Good idea.
Among others, because the homeless population and poor people are skyrocketing. And I think that is the best idea yet. And then as soon as North Korea, the leader of North Korea, decided to get rid of their nuclear weapons or facilities, in the next 2 days, Netanyahu started again against talking against Iran and how bad it was almost immediately after.
That's true.
And I thought that was so remarkable, because now North Korea was more or less off the enemy list. But now, of course, we have to go back to Iran. And those are my observations. Have a good day.
Well, thank you for they fit with my dark view. And thank you for your call. I do think that the current administration and a lot of people and the Israelis and the Saudis, who are our only remaining real allies, really do want to destroy the regime and perhaps the country of Iran. And it's very disturbing and very ugly and scary. Nevertheless, I think, again, I'm going to bring up the myth of Sisyphus. I think it's important that we struggle, and we don't know. And this is really important. We don't know where the tipping point is. And we may find ourselves, to our delightful surprise, having some victories. And I think we should keep struggling. If you walk away, you're not playing, and if you're not playing, the game's over.
Well, hey, thank you for the call, Annalisa. I appreciate it. I think that brings us to the end.
I think so. I think we'll do this another time, but not real soon.
You know what? Despite the fact that we both showed up with a worst list of worst things,
yeah,
I'm feeling pretty good, and our listeners.
Well, everybody stood up and personed up.
Yeah, they did.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, because we have the best listeners.
We have the best listeners, and we actually are on the best radio station in the region.
Also true.
Okay, you keep listening because it's got good music as well.
All right, we'll be back at you next week.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9 o'clock. Coming up next on Alternative Radio, the interview host Abby Martin, who will talk about corporate media and the U.S. empire.
Hey, Boo Community.